All right, back again here at New York Comic Con 2017. We are making things happen. I am Ben Morse, the editorial director of digital media, joined by
Tucker Marcus, assistant editor.
And we have got the brilliant Aaron Cooter with us. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good, although I prefer amazing Aaron.
The amazing. Fix this in post. The amazing Aaron Cooter is here with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
So, man, we've had you over at Marvel for a little bit now. You've been working on All New Guardians of the Galaxy with Jerry Duggan. What's that relationship like? What's the dynamic like with Jerry, and how much have you been kind of pitching in on that?
It feels, if I could relate it to any point in life, it would be like the kid playing in the toy box. We are really lucky and really fortunate to be able to play with some of the coolest characters in existence. And the weirdest, and the ones that you scratch your head and say, like, oh yeah, I remember him, and it's been a blast. It's been a real blast.
In that toy box, we have some of the great characters on offer. Do you have a favorite Guardian to draw? Obviously the team is changing a little bit. What's that been like so far for the first few issues?
As with anything I draw, you find the joy of every character. And I mean, it's a real, like, kind of don't know what I'm allowed to say in the censorship class, but it's it's a real broad stroke answer, but it's also very true, because you push yourself, elements of yourself, into every character that you do. Like when I draw Gamora, I think of when I wake up grumpy and need coffee. That's just the way I see her outlook on life. When I draw Drax, it's almost like the grumpiness is just continued, but I'm not allowing myself to be grumpy. I'm trying to, like, not be violent, you know, sort of thing. It's an experience with all of those things. When I do Rocket, I tap into the class clown from high school. You know, those elements of who we are, like, through the evolution of our lives, and especially with a team book, that's really important. Because, I've worked on solo books, and the solo books, you get stuck in one person's mode so often that it becomes so dominant in your own life. And doing a team book really allows you to just, like, push yourself in ways of figuring out how to make expressions work, how to make the chemistry between the team work, and getting, like, new little nuances of, like, just like having Star-Lord kick back with his feet on the console and everybody being like, dude, come on, get your feet off the console. It's those little moments that really make everybody gel together, and give everybody their own personality. I really enjoy drawing Groot just kind of always off in the background doing his own thing.
Yeah.
You know, like sitting in a potted plant, just being like, you guys are nuts. So
now, in addition to drawing, you've written comics in the past too. So I want to know how has that factored your working relationship with Jerry? Do you give suggestions? Does he ask you for stuff, or are you just purely drawing this book?
At this point, I feel comfortable with my own storytelling enough to say, like, I'm just going to do what I do, and I try to keep it within the guidelines and boundaries that he's set forth. And whenever you work with somebody for the first time, you don't want to overstep. You don't want to step on their toes. You don't want to, like, kibosh their creative juices, which, you know, the artist can totally do that to the writer.
Really?
If I'm not good at my job, I'm not getting his story across.
Right.
And that's the point of the artist. As the writer side of me, the storyteller side of me, which, you know, every artist is a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
But that element, you find those moments to tell your own story within the boundaries of the overall story. You do that with environment. You do that with space. And I don't mean like outer space. I mean like just the proximity between people, the staging of the environment and things like that. I leave the plot stuff to Jerry, because he's got a really amazing larger scope thing going on. And if I step on that too much, I don't want to cause headaches down the line. But those little nuances is where I get my high for storytelling.
Nice.
Yeah. A fascinating element that really just came to mind as you've spoken is the idea of an artist as an actor in a strange way. What's your take on that? How do you kind of view that? Because especially with such an ensemble, you have to embody so many different characters. How do you manage that, those transitions? I mean, you spoke about it a little earlier, but really embodying those things seems like such a challenge.
It helps to be like kind of multi-personality. Having as much life experience as possible. You know, I didn't come into comics as a teenager, as a 20-something-year-old. I started drawing comics as a 30-year-old. I've been a full-time electrician. I was a bartender. I sold Turkish rugs. Like, I was a delivery guy for a really great coffee company in Ithaca, New York, called Gimme Coffee. Plug. And I did all these things. I had this huge life experience, and that allowed me to be able to tap into. It will always allow me to tap into like just the different aspects of life, and I think that really becomes crucial, especially when telling space stories, because you can do anything in space, but if you lose the relatability, if you're drawing a scene of some space driver going across space and you lose that element of like knowing what it's like to drive cross country, mm-hmm. and just lose yourself in your own thoughts, mm-hmm. you know, it's just going to look like I'm driving a truck through space, which is boring. Unless you're, you know, John Carpenter and like you can make that awesome. But, but that whole, like, having a character whistle in their head in the background, I love that stuff. I love the nuances of that. Yeah.
You've gotten to, as part of your Guardians run, reimagine some of the weirdest characters in the Marvel Universe. I'm talking about the Elders. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Nova Corps you've gotten to work with.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about the Gardener?
Yeah. Yeah, baby. How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
I'm doing fantastic, and I especially loved reworking on the Elders. Yeah. I really would love to do just an Elders limited series. I'll be talking to somebody about it at some point this weekend. But it just, you know, they're like the Addams Family meets the Brady Bunch, meets like, you know, just Doctor Who, you know, just out there stuff. And it's awesome. And it's bizarre. And it's what we as comic book fans, you know, comic book fans we all start out, not movie fans, comic book fans, start out as the introverts that seek their stories, seek their entertainment through themselves. As artists, as writers, like most of the people, at least in my age group in comics, we were the people with the hoodies up and reading comics and please don't talk to me. And as we get older, we start to do conventions. And we meet other people that also have their hoods up, and eventually we all learn to take our hoods down and be like, oh my gosh, you like that too?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty, like, that's just the beauty of this industry, is that we're all introverts that are like, but with getting back to the Elders.
Yeah, please.
What I really love about doing that is that they touch on every aspect of like every genre of space weirdness.
Yes.
And if you do it right, you get their story in one image.
Yeah.
In like one still of who they are.
And some of these characters, like you drawing them, is the most apparent. Like, I don't know where else the Obliterator has appeared, but you got to draw the Obliterator.
Oh, yeah, Silver Surfer. He came from a Silver Surfer. The revamp, I think it was the late 80s or early 90s.
Okay. The Steve Englehart, Ron Mars run.
Maybe.
Jim Starlin in there somewhere too.
That's in the dead zone.
Okay.
But he came from Silver Surfer stuff. I personally had never seen the Traitor until I was researching the Elders. Yeah. Who's like the dapper. He's got this like dapper suit on in the issue of that I drew him in. But in the original version, he's like he's got armor all over him, and I'm like, no. He's a traitor. His suit is still armor, but it's like Lickens fly.
Yeah. I could literally talk Elders of the Universe all day. Yeah, right? You definitely should get that limited series going.
We'll talk. We'll figure it out.
Something fans were most excited about for this run on Guardians was seeing the team back into the cosmos and returning to the cosmic roots. What does drawing outer space, what does that offer, unlike any kind of ground level story? What makes that so exciting for you?
The fact that it's so broad stroking. I mean, you can have straight up Western in space. You could have horror in space. And those are just like the easy ones to hit. You can do film noir in space. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's space. You don't know what's out there. And as long as you're using your noggin to tell a story, you can make it the craziest stuff in that's out there. Yeah.
To kind of wrap things up, what else do you have coming up in Guardians that you're excited about, that you want to talk about? What's next?
Well, I'm really excited that we just announced the Adam Warlock is coming out. I got to put my own spin on him.
Very cool.
Which I'm so excited about. Yeah. So happy. Like, man, as I every time I draw him, I think him. Because that's who he was originally. Sure. He wasn't Adam Warlock. Sure. He was just straight up him. All caps.
Yeah.
That whole realm of... You may think we're going with Infinity Gauntlet sort of quest sort of story, and it doesn't deal with Infinity Stones or Infinity Stones, not gems.
Yeah.
But it is not the story that you've seen 100 times. Mm-hmm. It's just bizarre and awesome and really refreshing to be a part of.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we're looking forward to what's coming up in all new Guardians of the Galaxy.
Woohoo! Me too.
This is Marvel.
Your universe.